Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Waiting for the three amigos. I'm Matt Steinmetz with Dan Dibley.
Uh-oh.
They're not here right now.
Dos enemigos, the two enemies.
As Jim McKay would say, they're all gone now.
Don't go there.
It's 40 years ago.
Nobody, 43.
I'll tell you what, if anybody knows what that reference was to, hit me up on the text line. Nobody knows what they're all gone now.
Yes, they do, Steiny. It's one of the more tragic days in Olympic sports history.
Well, now you're giving it away.
Ba-ba-ba-ba!
Hey, the Golden State Warriors beat the Sacramento Kings last night to raise their record to 35-2. And
He missed it. Oh, and he missed it.
The
Blair
Vikings
Walsh,
kicker,
and he missed it.
Missed a field goal with 22 seconds left.
And not on Mount Walshmore, by the way.
Wow. Really?
Who, that kicker?
Bill Walsh.
Yes.
Joe Walsh.
Thank you.
The singer.
Think volleyball.
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
Carrie Walsh.
And who's four?
Well, not that guy. Not the kicker, Blair Walsh.
We need a fourth for the Mount Walsh.
The Blair Walsh Project, by the way. If you're a Vikings fan, get your meme ready because he just missed.
That's the second time
they've gone laces.
Laces. Wow.
Look at the arms up.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't
arms down.
Don't put the game on. Stay with us here on
95.7. Keep it locked. Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, the Golden State Warriors 35-2. The talk of the NBA. There's a contrarian point of view out there about the Golden State Warriors, Dibs, and I want you to hear it. This is from Colin Cowherd, the radio dude. Do we have that Colin Cowherd sound?
I'm not as infatuated by the Warriors as everybody else. Curry, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green. They're fun. I'm not going to deny that. They're great. But I like the struggle. We work in Hollywood, right? That Rocky thing, the Star Wars thing. You do realize there's conflict all throughout those movies. The good guy almost always wins. I wouldn't mind the Warriors winning 7 straight titles. But I like conflict. The Warriors now go on 22-0 runs. The game is so finesse, it seems effortless. Can you imagine in the 90s going on a 22-0 run? I can't. First of all, if it was the Knicks, they'd break your clavicle, and they'd wrestle you, and you'd need 11 baskets straight, not just now, potentially 7 and a free throw. The Warriors shoot 31 threes a night, and they're the best ever at it. They've solved the Rubik's Cube. Remember when we used to be kind of fascinated? Oh, the Rubik's Cube. Then kids figured it out in like 14 seconds, and nobody bought the Rubik's Cube. It wasn't interesting. We've solved the three-point line in the NBA. The Warriors are the best ever at it. They're unbelievable. But I have to wonder if Adam Silver doesn't think it's too easy. They're too good at it. There's a competitive imbalance.
That was Colin Cowherd. He also went on to say the Golden State Warriors are boring, that watching the three-point shot time after time after time is boring. And he also said that Adam Silver may look at this three-point line at some point, Dibs, and say, you know what, it's too close. So it sounds like a lot of people are just, they're not into where this three-point line is. Is that a minority?
Let's not go to a lot of people based on what he said. That's his opinion, and he's paid to evoke emotion and reaction, which I would like to not give him what he's looking for by not reacting. But now that you brought it up, I guess I'll take the bait and say that he's wrong on so many levels so as to make him sound like a grumpy old curmudgeon. Yeah, he says, first of all, he likes the struggle. And he talked about the 90s and the physicality of the game. I don't hear anybody today pining for that level of physicality in basketball and, quote, the struggle. If you want the struggle in a game without scoring, watch soccer. Watch 90 minutes of a nil-nil soccer game if you want soccer and struggle. So I think most of what he's saying is just because he has to say something,
right,
and he has to try to get a reaction.
See, I'm obviously not a big fan of where the 3-point line is, but I also realize a lot of people are, especially the younger generation, the kids under 20. This is great basketball for them. They're flocking to this kind of basketball. And you're right. Look, I'm 50 years old. I have a sense of NBA history. And those Knicks, Bulls, Pistons, Miami Heat, physical games of the early 90s and mid-90s, I thought those were awful. I hated watching those. So I don't want to go back to that. You know, is the 3-point line a little too close? Well, you know what? It is for the Warriors, but that's just because they shoot it better than anybody else. But to call it boring, that's where he's going to lose a lot of credibility, because the Golden State Warriors, yes, they shoot the 3 better than anybody else, but they also move the ball better than anybody else. They also cut better than anybody else. They have better chemistry than anybody else. So I just don't understand how you can't like what the Golden State Warriors are doing.
I think when you look at the 3-point shot, if you looked at the percentage, the shooting percentage of the 3-point shot, it has gone up. I wouldn't say that it's been, quote, solved, although Boogie Cousins yesterday stroking a couple threes,
yeah,
against the Warriors. Everybody's becoming proficient enough to shoot the 3-ball. You really can't extend the corner 3 any further. As it is now, it's about a size 15 shoe from the sideline. Am I right?
You are right.
There's only about a foot and a half or 2
correct
feet.
It's 22 feet on the
in the corner.
Correct.
And the court width is 48 feet.
Something
is that
like
right?
That, yeah.
So based on the pure math of it, if it's 22 and 22, that's 44. You've only got 2 feet either, yeah, side. Do you really want to back up the wing and the top of the key 3 to what, 25 feet? Is that what we want?
I think the first thing they would do is make it a uniform 23 feet 9 inches, and then the arc would just kind of run out of bounds on the corners, and they would eliminate the corner 3 because that's the easiest 3 that they've, you know, charted so far.
Well, distance-wise, I wonder if the percentage of the corner 3 is higher than the wing 3 or the straight-on 3.
Oh, you mean to make them?
Yes.
Yes.
The percentage in the corner is much higher.
That's correct, because it just is, and it's shorter. And that's my understanding anyway, that the corner 3 is the easiest of the 3-point shots.
Here's an idea. Yeah. Become more proficient in defending the 3.
Well, you're right on the money there.
And defenses, if you are a team comprised of big stiffs, you're not going to be able to play both of them at the same time. I have the same argument when it comes to the Hakka strategy. People who say, oh, get the Hakka out of the game, you know, this is a dumb strategy. Here's an idea. Learn to shoot a free throw. I refereed 8 games yesterday, 4th and 5th graders. Yeah. These kids can make free throws. It's the same free throw in the NBA as it is for 4th and 5th graders. You had a lifetime to become proficient at shooting free throws. There's no reason, DeAndre Jordan, et al., that you shouldn't be able to shoot at least 60%, Steiny, from the free throw line. You're a guy who shot 85 to 90 in his career. Well, let's just say.
I shot 80 over 3 years. And then my junior year, I had a lot of off-the-court stuff going on. I only shot 71.4%.
Did it manifest at the foul line?
It absolutely did.
Because you had time to think about your off-court foibles and struggles?
I had a little focus issues back then.
Uh-huh.
You know, I needed to take the game a little more seriously. It was my junior year of college. And as you know, Dibs, when you go to college, sometimes there can be some distractions.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to straighten your life out a little bit.
My first three junior years were a struggle. And then my next 3 junior years, I did much better.
You know, the one thing, a big difference between the East Coast and the West Coast, and jump in if you want, 888-957-9570. Most people on the East Coast, they go to college, they go, and they get out in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
In California, if you get out in 5 years, that's fine, and 6 isn't even really too long.
I'm going to take a year off, bro.
How many years did it take you to graduate from college?
13.
No, it didn't. Come on, 13. Give me a straight answer.
The answer is 13. Was I enrolled 26 consecutive semesters? No, I wasn't. I graduated high school in 86. I graduated college in 99. If you do the math, that's a 13-year span. Went for two.
This is news to me.
2 years at JC.
Okay.
Went to Cal State Northridge for 4.5 and did not accrue what you would call a lot of units. Gotcha. I had a lot of fun. My beach volleyball game was on fleek. I was unbelievable. A lot of fun to hang out with. Went there as a junior, left as a junior after 4.5 years. Took 5 years off and then went back and finished.
Did your parents ask you what was going on
back
then?
My parents. I'm the youngest of four kids. They said, are you alive? And do you need money? And that was basically it. That was the extent of their parenting.
It's somewhat similar to my brother. You know, I went to the University of Pennsylvania, and he was second year there. And it was after Christmas, and my dad said, hey, son, by the way, where are your grades? What do you mean? I don't have any grades, you know.
No grades?
What do you mean no grades? Yeah, Dad, I haven't really been going to school this semester.
Yeah.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Hey,
we're taking your Fiat away.
Oh, not the Fiat.
Yeah, because he was on an ROTC scholarship. And
gotcha.
So Dad yanked that right out from under him. All right, we're going to take a break now. I see the phone lines. We're going to get to those right after the break. But we're talking about Alex Smith a little bit. We were talking about Colin Kaepernick. Did the San Francisco 49ers make a mistake? You saw Alex Smith. He's dynamic yesterday. Dynamic. Is he a better? He might even be a better runner than Kaepernick. Guy's got some wheels. 95.7 the game.
You're fired.
What's going on, Bay Area? Matt Steinmetz along with Dan Dibley, filling in for the Three Amigos on a Sunday afternoon. Minnesota Vikings just lost to the Seattle Seahawks 10-9. They had a chance to win it with a field goal at the end, but the guy butchered, Blair Walsh butchered what, 30-yarder?
Something like that.
27-yarder.
Wow. Shocker.
So Dibs and I are talking some football. We're talking a little Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick, and you might be saying, that's old news, man. Why are you talking about something from 3 or 4 years ago? Well, we're talking about something from 3 or 4 years ago because it's pertinent now. Alex Smith advances in the postseason. He may be playing a Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. What's going on with Colin Kaepernick? We don't know. It'll probably have something to do with what coach the San Francisco 49ers hire. Will that 49ers new coach want Colin Kaepernick a part of the system or not? Let's go out to California. Callie, you're in Oakland. You want to talk about Alex Smith. What's up, man?
Well, I have something else. I want to comment on Colin Cowherd, if that's all right.
Yeah, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
All right. Both. Look,
sure.
Colin Cowherd, it's interesting that this guy is now making an argument, quite frankly, for losers. when he's talking about, when he says that the Warriors bore him and he's not in love with the three-pointer. Look, he has the Mark Jackson disease. He feels the same way that Mark Jackson does, that Steph and the three is, to a degree, in quotes, bad for the NBA and bad for basketball. Okay, he feels the same way. Matt, I don't usually agree with you, and you know that, but here I do. You have lurched into the truth when you said it's generational.
Right.
It is generational. You find these older people who are in what I call their own sports dogmas, and they don't want to come out of it, and so they really don't like the three. They don't like what the Golden State Warriors are doing, the small ball and everything else. So that's really what it is. And the people who really feel this way, it just means that you're getting old, folks.
You know
what I mean?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. No, and the other thing is, I'm a man of words. Both my parents were English teachers, so I like to parse words. And I can see how somebody might say the Warriors are boring because 90% of their games now are not competitive. I might be able to get behind that. When the Golden State Warriors go out and take the court, they're just annihilating people, and that gets a little old. Okay, I don't agree with you, but I see where you're coming from. But to say that what the Golden State Warriors are doing isn't impressive, I mean, that's ridiculous. This is one of the most incredible teams I've seen in my lifetime. And I'm 50, but I can acknowledge that.
The team is averaging 114 points a game. I don't know how you can call that boring.
Yeah.
Right, right. Now, Alex Smith, now, look, for these, now, I might disagree with you here, Matt. For these Alex Smith apologists, look, if you cannot get it done, you can't get it done. And getting it done means winning the Super Bowl. I don't care what Alex Smith is doing now. Matt is not relevant what Alex Smith is doing now. He could not get it done for the San Francisco 49ers. He had to be replaced. Kaepernick could not get it done for the 49ers. He has to be replaced. Look, the reason that you got to get rid of these quarterbacks that can't get it done is because you have to get to the quarterback that can get it done. Okay, and you'll never find out who that guy is if you keep having these modern-day Steve DeBergs, as Bill Walsh used to say, these quarterbacks that are just good enough just to get you beat. As long as you have these guys, you'll never get what you need.
So you're saying the Chiefs have no chance?
No. I'm not worried about the Chiefs, man. And the Chiefs are going to go as far as that defense is going to take them. Look, I'm not an Alex Smith hater, okay, but I am a 49er fan. And quite frankly, we shouldn't be worried about a quarterback this year. We need to get the Heisman Trophy winner. We need to get that running back. That's what we need to do this year.
All right. Thanks, Callie. Right. Appreciate the call. Let's go out to Dick in Corte Madera. Dick, what's going on, man?
Yeah, hi. I've never called in before. I've always enjoyed listening to you guys, but I kind of weigh in on the Smith Kaepernick deal, and if we have time, I'd like to talk about the Warriors too for a minute. I got a couple things to say about Smith Kaepernick. We can't be revisionists when it comes to history. Alex Smith couldn't hit open men. He couldn't hit kick off second receivers. He couldn't throw deep. There was no question that Kaepernick was the guy at the time. Smith has developed a better game now under Andy Reid, but for some reason or other, he never really fully developed his talents as a 49er. So it's crazy to look at what's going on now and go back and say, oh, it was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake at the time.
Well, let me jump in, and I'm not disagreeing with you that the table was set for that move to be made, and it should have been made. What blows me away is that that all may be correct, but here we are 4 or 5 years later, and we're talking about a guy who might not even be able to play the position anymore in Kaepernick. That to me would blow me away that Harbaugh wants to use Cap, you know, obviously makes the change. Kaepernick comes on like gangbusters his first 1 or 2 years, and now it's 3 or 4 years later, and it's like, this guy might not even be able to play in the NFL. That to me is shocking.
Can I weigh in on that?
Yeah,
too?
Sure.
To talk about. Look, and this is true in almost every sport, including the football. A quarterback is not a man on an island alone. And what I mean by that is he needs an offensive line. And the offensive line this year was decimated. When Kaepernick was doing well, he had the best offensive line in the pros. Would you agree with that?
One of the best, for sure.
Right? You give almost any quarterback in the NFL time, and they look like Superman. You give almost every quarterback in the NFL a bad line where they're getting rushed every play and they get happy feet. They're going to look like they never played football in their life before. Would you agree with that?
They're going to look bad, yes.
Bad. What I'm saying is I don't know whether Kaepernick's done or not.
Okay.
I really know that. I think he's got a skill set that is fantastic on paper, and we've seen it in action. The guy got us to the playoffs. He got us to the Super Bowl. He was 6 yards away from winning. You know, I mean, it's crazy to write that guy off at this point.
No, I agree, and I'm with you. I'm not saying Kaepernick's done. I would never say that. But what I'm saying is, what you're saying is, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But I certainly would. I'm with you here. I'd certainly rather give Kaepernick the first shot at next year as opposed to Blaine Gabbert. I don't think there's any doubt about that, particularly with the new coach. Hey, Dick, thanks a lot for the call. Really appreciate it. You had some excellent things to say, and I think he's right. I mean, he's right. No great quarterback's going to do anything with a lousy offensive line.
And that's what we've seen time and time again. You look at Teddy Bridgewater this year, recently ousted from the postseason. His team made the playoffs not because he had a monster year throwing the football. They have the best running back in the leading rusher, and a very good defense. And that's what Alex Smith had when he was here. He was a great game manager, but they thought they needed somebody to get them to that next level, and Colin Kaepernick was able to do that in the time he started.
You think it's fair to say that Kaepernick wasn't as good as he looked 3 or 4 years ago and isn't as bad as he looked last year?
That's very fair. Okay. And I think a lot of quarterbacks you can look at and make that same assessment. And part of it is based on who their personnel is, to much to the caller's point.
Let's go to Robbie in Fremont. Robbie, what's going on, man?
How's it going?
Going well.
So I kind of always liked Alex Smith just because he seemed a little bit more humble to me. And I thought when Harbaugh came in and Smith was able to see a consistent offense, you know, for the first time in his 49ers career.
Right.
He really picked up. I mean, remember the 2012 season? He beat Green Bay.
Sure. Great run in that game, too.
Things, you know, but then he got hurt. They put Kaepernick in. And then, so I expect Alex Smith to do well in Kansas City because he's like an old school quarterback. You know, he gets it done, doesn't make any mistakes. And, you know, you saw him being dynamic yesterday. That's because he has a lot of heart. So I kind of want him to go to the Super Bowl because I want him to get the same respect that he should have gotten for being a first round pick, you know? It was that messed up system in San Francisco for 6 different offensive coordinators, 3 different coaches that got him to be the laughing stock he was for so long, you know?
Yeah, no, good call, Robbie. Appreciate it. And we can't forget, and the first caller was right. At the time the switch was made, most people were in favor of it.
Yeah, a lot of people had kind of sensed that Alex had run his course. And like he says, Robbie says, 6 coordinators in 6 years, or he had 5 and 5. That might be what is facing this team again. With a new head coach coming in, you're likely going to get new coordinators, which means Colin Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert, whoever you draft, whichever free agent, they're going to have to start over again. So expectations need to be tempered for this Niners team. No matter who you have at starting quarterback, I don't think you can look at the team and think 11-5.
Maybe you can get back to 8-8, though.
Maybe.
And which was Harbaugh's last year. Everybody seems to forget that. Harbaugh lost 4 out of his last 5 games.
That was a situation where when they lost the game, turkey on the 50.
Yes.
And yes, I see your memes already coming out that turkey on the 50 in Super Bowl 50, that dream still lives for Seattle. And that ultimately, I think, Matt, would be the Jed York nightmare matchup, Seattle-Kansas City.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Pete Carroll in Seattle against Alex Smith. That's the biggest lose-lose Super Bowl possible.
Let's go to Derek in Vallejo. Derek, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Great.
All right. Well, okay, the thing with Kaepernick and Alex Smith, for one, who said Harbaugh was even the guy that wanted Kaepernick to take, you know, to take over the following season? I think that may have had something to do with the balky Harbaugh beef also.
Yeah, that might have. You might be right.
You know, because, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. Kaepernick was a project when he, you know, came into the league and stuff. And I think Harbaugh may have wanted him to sit behind Alex Smith maybe like another year or two before actually, you know what I'm saying, taking over the reins and stuff.
Yeah, but Harbaugh was the guy who made the change while, you know, basically Alex Smith lost his starting position because of a concussion. He lost his position, you know, because of injury.
That was crap also, man. I mean, when do players, I mean, you know, figuratively speaking, when do players start losing their position, their starting position, because of injury?
That's one of the big wives' tales in pro sports, though. The whole, oh, you can't lose your spot because of injury. Wasn't Wally Pipp ostensibly hurt when he was sick that day and Lou Gehrig replaced him?
And also, how about Harrison Barnes may lose his position right now to Brandon Rush because he was out 15 games.
I'm glad you said that, Steiny, because I was thinking yesterday for the first time, what if this was your starting lineup? What if you could start Brandon Rush? Because ultimately, and many people lose sight of this, what matters in the NBA more than anything else is what's your finishing five, not your starting five. Maybe you start Brandon Rush, you give him 6 minutes off the top, and then maybe he doesn't play more than 5 or 6 more minutes in the game. But that way Harrison Barnes comes in with a second unit, and now you have more than just Livingston and Iguodala. Now you have a third option. So you have a big three with Draymond, Clay, and Steph, And then your bench would have a big three with Livingston, Iguodala, and HB.
That's Dan Dibley. I'm Matt Steinmetz. When we come back after break, we're going to be joined by Eric Reed. He's the television play-by-play broadcaster for the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat in town for a game tomorrow night against the Golden State Warriors at Oracle Arena. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. Welcome back. Matt Steinmetz along with Dan Dibley filling in for the Three Amigos on a Sunday afternoon in the Bay Area. Pretty nice day out today, to tell you the truth. A little windy. Affects my set shot just a little bit out in the backyard, but with my home court advantage, I still can knock shots down.
You still getting out there?
Not as much as... I was thinking about this. El Nino, this is what I want to talk about after, we're joined by Eric Reed. El Nino is killing New Year's resolutions, just killing it.
As far as getting out there and getting exercise?
Exactly. All right, joining us right now, Eric Reed. He's the television play-by-play broadcaster for the Miami Heat. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
That's my pleasure. Perfect timing between the football games.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I want to tell you, you know, the nice thing about League Pass these days is you get a chance to hear some other announcing teams from other areas. And I got to tell you, I think you and Tony Fiorentino do a heck of a job. You got great chemistry. I really enjoy listening to your guys' broadcasts. And I also like Jason Jackson a lot, who brings some lighthearted commentary to the broadcast.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. Tony, we've been together as a team for a long time, the three of us. Tony and I are real proud that we're the only broadcast team in the league that both broadcasters are original employees of the franchise. Coach and I have been with the Heat for 28 years. I think we're two of the seven Heat employees that have been there from the start. So the chemistry you think you hear is two great friends working for a team, you know, that they've been with since its inaugural season. We love what we do. We love, you know, who we do it for. And we love League Pass, too, not only to hear all your colleagues, but you really get a handle and can watch every team in the league play. So it's a great gift for basketball fans.
And I got to believe one of the other seven people is the guy on the halftime show, Randy Fund, right? He was an original, wasn't he?
No, Randy is that's Ron Rothstein you're talking
about. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Ron Rothstein.
Randy Fund's a former general manager.
Yes.
Ron Rothstein was an original member of the franchise, our first head coach, also coached the WNBA's Miami Soul, but he left to become, you know, at one point he left and was the head coach of the Pistons. He was an assistant in a couple of spots, including Indiana. But he's been back with the franchise for all three of the championships, and I'll tell you what, the night the Heat won that first championship in 2006, the happiest I was for two individuals. One was Alonzo Mourning, who came back from kidney disease to be a part of that first Miami championship team, and the other was Ron Rothstein, because that was sort of a payback of being the coach of the Heat for those first 3 years of existence as an expansion team. We won 15, 18, and 24 games in those first three seasons, so to have Ronnie back on the bench, it was a terrific thing for the franchise and for him.
Eric, let me ask you this. I'm looking at the Miami Heat starting five: Dragic, Wade, Lualdang, Bosch, Whiteside. Do you guys, or do the players, consider themselves a title contender, considering that, you know, they can play with the Chicago Bulls and Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I don't think the Heat are putting that label on themselves. I think they're just trying to find, you know, some consistency. And you could probably talk to every team in the East other than Cleveland, and they tell you the same thing. It's a much more competitive, better conference than it's been in the last several years. And the teams are very close and even. And, you know, Miami hasn't had much consistency. Still haven't had a four-game win streak since LeBron left. And it's been a little bit hot and cold. Every time you think they've got it figured out, they stumble and have a bad loss, like at Utah last night against a shorthanded Jazz team. So, you know, you got to play real hard and make a billion. You got to make a million plays a night, it seems like, to win a game in this very competitive league.
How is the depth developed of the Heat roster? Just looking over the numbers, it seems like 9 to 10 guys are getting quality minutes. Does that lead to some of the inconsistencies you've had this year?
No, well, I think the bench has had its share of ups and also downs. I mean, you know, the the top guy off the bench is Gerald Green. You know, Gerald's had a really nice season for the Heat. I'm real proud of him because he's always been predominantly just an offensive player. But you come to Miami, there's such an emphasis on defense. And from the first time he met Pat Riley, Coach said to him, you know, you got to recreate who you are and people's impression of you, and that means you got to play defense. So he's used that great energy and athleticism on the defensive end to become a two-way player. But we all know that Green is a little bit erratic as a perimeter shooter. You know, he scores 15 points or more. I think the Heat's 8-2. So his scoring is important. Other than that, you've got Justice Winslow coming off the bench. You know, the rookie is challenged offensively and creates challenges as a defender because he is outstanding as a 19-year-old first-year player on the defensive end, but he doesn't score much. Very good rebounder. Josh McRoberts has been injured. Tyler Johnson in and out of the lineup with a sore shoulder. But Spoelstra's been getting a lot of energy and production from when he's got Winslow, Green, and Tyler Johnson on the floor. They lift the energy, and they're both, you know, good two-way players.
Well, when I think of the Miami Heat, and we're being joined by Eric Reed, he's the television play-by-play broadcaster for the Heat, I think of defense. And I'm very interested to see tomorrow's game because the Miami Heat always have a strong foundation of defense, but yet the Warriors, you may need to go a little above and beyond the call. You may have to put in some wrinkles or something like that. Is that realistic to do in the course of a regular season to really make some accommodations to defend Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and the way this team shoots threes? Or does Eric Spoelstra come out and say, hey, look, we have our defensive principles and we've just got to adhere to those and play the game?
Yeah, well, nobody's figured out a system or a style of play that's been able to derail Golden State over the last year and a half, basically. I think every team has its defensive principles and systems. There is tweaking and adjusting, you know, from game to game. That's what NBA coaches do. They're going to look at tape. They're going to have the opponent well scouted, and you're going to make little adjustments. But there's not an adjustment on the planet that, you know, can help you defend this group. You've got to be so sound. And listen, the league has changed over the last couple of seasons, more dramatically so this year, where, you know, and maybe it's Golden State that has set that tone, and it's a copycat league, but nobody can, you know, simulate or copy this talent level. I mean, 30 plus assists, like 15 times right. This year. I don't think the Heat have a 30 assist game all season. So It's a gifted team. And I think what's so rare about this Golden State team, look, the coaching change, you know, because of Coach Kerr's situation hasn't affected the team at all. Going through three Heat championships, we understand how difficult it is to repeat. Pat Riley had a saying about that. He said, when you get to the mountaintop, the tendency is to want to camp out up there. But when a new season begins, you got to come down to the bottom of the hill and make that climb all over again. It's the most challenging thing to do in professional sports, yet this is a rare example of a championship team that has come back with a chip on their shoulder, and I think deservedly so. They probably were undercredited, you know, with winning that championship over a Cleveland team that was dealing with a lot of injuries. But I don't think there's a better team right now than the Golden State Warriors, and we're looking forward to watching that game. Whether the Heat can stay close or not, you just want to see in person the greatest show on earth right now in terms of basketball.
You got a couple of great champions there, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, guys who've been to the mountaintop. Is there a sense that maybe this is their last climb, or we're getting down to where maybe just a couple climbs left for these guys to try to make it back to the NBA Finals?
Well, that's realistic. I mean, they're both 33 years old in their 13th year. Dwayne's going to be 34 in about a month or so. And I think Pat Riley understands where he is with this team in terms of being the master builder of champions in Miami. He's trying to surround Dwayne and Chris with as much talent as possible, you know, as quickly as possible. It's an organization that's still very hungry. They've won three championships in the last 10 years. But I think having that certain high-profile player leave has only strengthened the resolve from within to try to get back there again. But whether he was here or not, it's an organization, and there's not that many of them in the NBA or in pro sports that's really focused in on trying to compete for championships each year. So that in itself is a rare thing.
That was a very subtle way that you said high-profile player, much like I will say in the NFL, the Washington franchise, without saying that franchise's name. Very subtle.
Hey, Eric, can I assume you guys are in the Bay Area right now?
We are. We got in last night after the loss at Utah.
Well, I got to tell you, as somebody who traveled with the Warriors, it was awesome when we always had a day off in Miami. I remember one year we had 2 or 3 days off. It was incredible. It got to be nice to have a day off in the Bay Area as opposed to Salt Lake City, huh?
No, listen, this is one of our favorite cities to come to. I was actually here on vacation for a few days with the family. We did a nice California trip this past summer. Listen, when you work in the NBA, this is my 28th season with the Heat. It is a grind. You learn to embrace a day off wherever you are. But certainly we're looking forward to going out and get a nice stroll in and have a great dinner in your beautiful city.
All right. Thanks a lot, Eric, for joining us. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for the kind words, and enjoy this really special basketball team you guys have.
Thank you very much. Eric. That's Eric Reed, television play-by-play broadcaster for the Miami Heat, and he knows a little something about championships. He's got 3 under his belt as an announcer. Dibs, what do you say when we come back? Maybe get back into some football talk?
Let's. One more game to go here, Steiny, and it's just kicking off as we speak. Wild Card Weekend is almost in the books.
Well, let me tell you what. I'm going to be rooting hard for the Green Bay Packers in this game.
Why?
Well, as a Philadelphia Eagle fan, I hate the Giants, Cowboys, and Washington Redskins. All right, you're listening to the 95.7 The Game. Matt Steinmetz, Dan Dibley. We'll be back in a minute. I got to tell you, I kind of like this. I don't mind this at all.
The tunes?
Absolutely, yeah.
The tunes are stepping. They're happening. We need to head down to the Mission after this for a little burrito, Steiny.
But, and
Cervezas.
Listen to some Guido.
Look at you. Couple cervezas.
Yeah. Matt Steinmetz along with Dan Dibley Sunday afternoon talking about a lot of stuff. You know, just run through some football stuff. The Raiders, they're probably going to be here next year. I see that Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is pushing for the Rams and the Chargers to team up in Inglewood. That would leave the Oakland Raiders right here in Oakland. We're talking about Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith. Alex Smith, he may be playing in the Super Bowl at Levi Stadium. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, Dibs, was, El Nino has started, and it's really affecting my resolution.
What's your resolution? Well, the same as every other year?
Just getting into a little shit. You know, it's like Mount Resolution more. It's got to be lose weight.
Yep. Quit smoking.
I was going to say read more.
And maybe, that's nobody's resolution.
Oh, sure,
read more.
I'm going to pick up the guitar for sure. Pick
read
up the guitar.
More.
You don't think read more?
Read
maybe
more.
Maybe that was just mine.
Even LeVar Burton doesn't have that on his resolutions. He of reading is fundamental.
How about
and reading rainbow. Even he doesn't have reading on his list of resolutions.
Come on, listeners, got reading more. It's got to be a resolution, isn't it?
It's not in the top 10, as our board op shows.
No?
The book he brought in.
My boy Wes.
Here's the thing about reading, Steiny, as an adult. If you're an adult,
that doesn't count. That looks like a sports book.
If you're a grown up, either you read or you don't read. I would say there's very few people out there who are thinking, I got to read more. Because if you're a reader, you're reading already. You don't need to read more. And if you're not a reader like myself, I'm good for about a book a year. It's not on my list of resolutions. You know what? I'm going to try and read more this year.
You know, 888-957-9570. Have
read
you
more.
Ever said read? You're going to read more as a New Year's resolution. Or pick up a guitar, maybe a woodwind instrument, or maybe the
sure.
piano.
You know what? This year I want to read more and learn to play the clarinet. Come on. You got to be kidding me.
Well,
weight loss for sure. Drink less. Smoke less.
See,
maybe smoke more.
That's what I think. I want to drink more this new year.
Drink more, smoke more?
Yeah, definitely. Why not?
It is an Olympic year. You know, presidential election, I tend to drink more those years.
What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Cap and Alex Smith? You want to talk about some football that's going on now? We talk about the Raiders who are going to stay?
We can go across the board.
Okay,
we can talk NFL to L.A.
Well, let's do that because it's something that you and I disagree with a little bit. Here's what I feel about the Oakland Raiders staying in Oakland. We got two guys here, Dan and myself, who live in Oakland. Look, to me, it's pretty simple. You get the Chargers and the St. Louis Rams, go to Inglewood, and move the Oakland Raiders to Levi Stadium. ball game over, problem solved, done deal.
So that idea, let's imagine that idea is a ship. That ship has sailed.
Nah.
You can see it past the Farallons. It's heading west. That ship is adios, muchachos, goodbye. The only way that would have happened is if the Niners needed help to get their stadium built, which they didn't need help. The Raiders and 49ers will not share Levi's Stadium on a permanent basis because that's not the way this is going to go. The two organizations are not close enough. The two ownerships do not share enough.
Al Davis, rest his soul, is not alive. Policy and DiBartolo, Eddie, they're gone. Well, you know, to me, it just makes no sense building another stadium 20 miles from where a stadium was just built. We got Cal Stadium. We still have the Coliseum. What are we putting a fourth stadium in here for? And even AT&T, they could play. I'm saying they could play football at Levi's. They could play football at the new Cal Stadium. They could stay where they are. AT&T Park, they play some football. Don't put another football stadium in the Bay Area.
First of all, Levi's Stadium, maybe as a temporary stopgap, maybe the NFL, if it becomes Rams and Chargers to L.A. and the Raiders are left out, there's some indication that the Raiders might get some financial assistance to get something done here. Whether or not it's a new stadium or not, that's yet to be determined. In the short term, the Raiders could potentially share Levi's or play a season at Memorial Stadium in Cal, but neither one of those are permanent solutions for the Raiders' problem.
But the Giants and Jets play at the same stadium. What's the difference?
The difference is the Santa Clara Levi Stadium is a 49ers operation. The 49ers practice facility is right there. That is a 49ers facility. These teams don't want to share facilities. So you'd have to have an entire separate Raiders practice area, Raiders offices, unless you're going to say, what, Raiders, you continue to practice in Alameda?
Yeah.
And then your games are in Santa Clara? They don't want that. It's enough to even go across 880 from the facility. That's
now you're
already
saying the San Mateo Bridge commute's too much?
It is for a football team trying to operate in a professional manner. You have to have your offices in Santa Clara, and that thing was not built out with two different teams in mind. You'd have to have separate locker room facilities. You'd have to have a lot of things already in place that aren't in place.
Well, what's going to happen? Because they're not going to build a stadium in Oakland. I mean, that's not going to happen. And you and I both agree the city shouldn't put in one penny for that, right?
Nor should the county. But that doesn't preclude or prevent that from necessarily happening. Let's just assume that a new stadium at the Coliseum site would cost $1 billion.
Are we ripping down the one there now?
For $1 billion, you would have to tear it down and start over.
Okay, so that's good. So it's going to be football only?
Potentially, yes. The new stadium would be football only. And the A's would either have their own stadium on the same piece of property.
It is big enough for two, that is true.
As in Philadelphia, they have both on basically the same piece of property. It's a giant parking lot. The A's could be in one corner. The Raiders could be in the opposite corner. You could have both stadiums there, or the A's could potentially move to a downtown stadium.
Well, I would love that. I think the current Coliseum site gets a bad rap, and I think it's the most ideal location for any stadium in the Bay Area. It's got a BART stop right there. It's got 880 right beside it. 580 is close. It's the easiest place to get to. But I don't, you know, the city or county can't be throwing in money. That's definitely not going to happen. By the way, dibs, don't knock it. It's an intelligent and virtuous goal to read more.
I'm not knocking the idea of it. I just would argue that not many people have that as a resolution.
To read more is a, well, this guy says a 415. To read more is a quality New Year's resolution. That's not the issue. The issue is whether it's something that happens frequently.
Yes, I simply laughed at the notion that it's a resolution. I'm not debating whether or not it's a quality thing to do. Of course, reading is fundamental. We all know that.
You came up with a Mount Blairmore and a Mount Walshmore?
In honor, I guess not really honor, but with Blair Walsh, the Vikings kicker, missing the game-winning field goal, I just pointed out that he's not on Mount Blairmore, nor is he on Mount Walshmore.
I'd have to say Mount Blairmore would be Tony Blair, clearly the
former prime minister
in England.
Had a great run.
I'd have to say, I would say Paul Blair, the old center fielder for the Baltimore Orioles. Does he make it?
Probably should have had him on there. Linda Blair received a lot of late push, but I went with...
Yeah, you can't spin your head around like that and not be
and
on
not be on
list.
The mound. You're right. I went with Blair Underwood. Of course, the African-American
the
lawyer.
Yeah, with Susan Day and Corbin Burns.
You're showing all of our
I
age
love
right
that.
Now.
I love Blair Witch Project?
That's on there. Selma Blair. She was in, she's about my age. She's in some of those movies that you probably haven't seen.
You weren't an L.A. Law fan?
I was, yeah. No doubt. When he came on, he changed everything. Harry Hamlin.
Harry Hamlin, yeah.
Of course.
Of course, married to Lisa Rinna. Is that her first name, Lisa?
I think so.
The one with the lips. She had
huge lips.
Huge, and they're fake. Yeah, they're not.
And that's not all that's fake.
Let me tell you something. What do you got? I mean, it's you know how much money you'd have to pay me to inject a needle into my lip? I mean, come on now.
$100? $500? I'll give you.
Well, how long is it going to be in there, and are you shooting something in, or are you just popping it and just letting it sit there?
No, we're shooting you up.
So I'm Botoxing my lips.
Yeah, but just for about a month, and then they'll go back down to size.
I would do that for...
I offered you 500.
No, no chance.
$1,000.
No, I was thinking more like 10. 10,000.
If I got you, if I did a GoFundMe, $10,000 for you to Botox your lips, you'd do it? I got to think that 10 grand's a little low, considering
now
your financial situation.
You know what? When you spelled it out right there,
you're going to have big old Lisa Rinna lips. Pucker up, Buttercup, for a whole month.
I think I would need more than 10K. I do think I'd need more than 10K. That's the other thing, 888-957-9570. Give me the scouting report on what Botox feels like, if I could get through it. Do I get a painkiller? Do I get some Novocaine in there?
No, I don't think so.
You got to get something,
right?
You
probably get a little local. It's just a needle.
So you stay awake. You're not put under.
You're asking me as if I've had it done.
All right, if anybody out there has had Botox, would it be worth it for me to have a Botox injection into my lips for $10,000? or should I try to ask for more money with a GoFundMe account? All right, we're going to come back. I see the calls online. We're going to get back to some sports talk when we get back. I see Richard. I see Robert. I see Bill, Steve, John. We'll get back to you after this break. You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.